You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Thy faith hath made thee whole. When you've got that, faith, raw trust in Jesus Christ, you've got it all.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Let us implore our God in prayer. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy Lord, if we lack anything, it is the ability to look up and see that you are there. We are forever looking for the proof of your lordship. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know our needs. Where we lack trust, make us bold. Where we lack vision, inspire us. Where we lack faith, provide it that we may fasten our hope on you. Amen. Our text is John chapter 4, verses 48, 50, and 51. Then said Jesus, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Let's go back to the beginning of that. "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." They were a skeptical bunch, no doubt about that. After all, they had had signs and wonders before, had gotten in on them right from the start, right there in their own hometown, where Jesus had performed his first miracle and the water had become wine. And still, here they were, tagging along behind, waiting in the hope there'd be another wonder in the making. Maybe Jesus was giving them too much credit at that. Even signs and wonders didn't seem to bring them to the point of faith. We wouldn't want to take anything away from the frustration our Master had to endure. At the same time, I wonder if we wouldn't rather face the skepticism of his day than the gullibility of our own. Nowadays, a little sign or wonder makes believers of us all. Level two cities with as many bombs, and the whole world falls on its knees before the awful things, unshakable in the conviction that stockpiling bombs alone can save us. Blast a few successes into orbit or at the moon, and the nation sleeps easier at night and sighs with a sense of deep security. I get the point of Jesus' objection, but he gets the point of ours as well, and in the final analysis, the point is just the same. Just because it works, it doesn't warrant our devotion. We live in a pragmatic world. We surround ourselves with gadgets at home and at work and on the road. Give us a toothpaste that works, even when you can't brush after every meal. and a wash day detergent that gets clothes whiter, and we have found some degree of satisfaction. If you show me something new, I will automatically respond with one of two questions. Does it work? Or what does it do? Answer either of these questions to my satisfaction, and you have got yourself a believer, and a good one. I'll become a contributing believer. I'll pay for anything that works. I'll become a witnessing believer. If it works, I'll get the word around. And, sad to say, I'll become a worshiping believer. I'll build my life around those things that work. My help in ages past, my hope for years to come, and before their altars lay my tribute, and in their powers put my trust. But first, a demonstration, if you please. The good book says, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not electricity, nor horsepower, not computer control. Things that work we ought to use, not worship. God sent us into this world after he had plugged it in and got it working, with the command to subdue it. He wants us to till its fields and mine its treasures and conquer its laws for our use. He gave us a working world, and he wants us to work it. But the pendulum of discovery is a long one, and with one hand clutched to the end of it, we swing until the other fastens on to extremes. The man who drives his car to work in the morning, washes and polishes and pampers and babies it on Saturday, and points to it with pride, and then begins to put it first on his shelf of symbols which give meaning to his life and hope to his future. Basically, what happens to us is what happened to the crowds which thronged around Jesus on the shorelines and the pathways of old Palestine. We become preoccupied with the signs and wonders of our times, and finally fall prey to them altogether. The sign and wonder seekers of the first century came to see signs and wonders, and that was all they saw. The man, the God-man behind the signs and wonders, was lost on them entirely. A sign, by its intrinsic nature, points to something else, is a symbol for something greater than itself, and a wonder ought to be. The great discoveries and startling advances of our time are not ends in themselves. They are markers on the pathway toward the real discovery, that God is in his heavens and at work on earth, doing whatsoever he hath pleased. And from there, then, that deeper discovery yet, that he hath pleased to save us through his Son. Maybe you ought to think about that the next time you turn the ignition switch in the family car. That it works is a sign. It is a sign that God works. And from there you follow the markers till you discover that he works out our salvation. Do you see what we have done? We have become so engrossed with the wonders God has placed into his world, we have let them take the place of God. The laws by which God governs the natural elements which are our home appear so absolute we find our safety in them, and then need God no longer. So long as they work, they'll do, and they'll do nicely, thank you. Just because a thing works, it doesn't warrant our devotion. Just because a thing works, he warrants our devotion. But if you will go along with this, that it is part of the gullibility of our day to be willing to substitute the signs and wonders for the one who makes them, won't you have to agree as well that part of that same gullibility causes us to reject him, Christ, even when he doesn't work, if he doesn't make signs and wonders? Jesus warrants our devotion when he doesn't work. Oh, I don't mean Jesus isn't who he says, the Son of God. or that Christianity is less than the Bible cracks it up to be, the way to life eternal. But I do mean, Jesus doesn't always work the way we want him to. And you'll go along with that. Oh, Jesus, let my husband get that job, my daughter the boy across the street, and my son the first place trophy in the tennis tournament. Or even, come down ere my son die. And it doesn't work. Not always. Not the way we want it to. I say, Jesus warrants our devotion even then. He warrants our devotion because he is our God, the only one we've got, and the best one there could ever be, the Lamb upon the throne, the crucified cleanser of our hearts and lives. And no amount of peevishness or mild rebellion on our part will alter the fact that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, whether he works or not. We would like to miniaturize God to fit our mold, shrink him to the size of our little world. During the last world war, each side claimed God as an ally, and most of us couldn't get it into our little minds that God is high enough to love us all. We like to choose up sides and expect God to play on ours. But God doesn't work our way. God chooses, and he calls the signals. And as we keep our lonely vigil at the hospital or go to bury our dead, we figure God doesn't work at all, and that perhaps because he doesn't, he isn't God. But the Bible does not call for us to take God on demonstration. It calls us to take him on faith. The nobleman did what we do, came to Jesus with his problem and an outline of that which Jesus ought to do about it. And it didn't work. Jesus didn't work, not the way the Father wanted him to. All the man got was Jesus' word for it. Go thy way, thy son liveth. That's all. Take it or leave it. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. That's the way it is with Jesus, always a word, a promise. God calls on us to take him at his word. The word of God is going through rough times in our day. Men have come to approach it with a deck full of questions, dealing out a few each time the book is opened. But the questions do not look for answers. They look for proof. Men reject God's word because it does not give it to them. God's word does not give proof. God's word gives faith. The proof comes later. Don't miss the point of this story, which is our text. The nobleman walked home with faith. There's the miracle. The postscript about his son and servants and the time of day is only that, a postscript. The story itself is of a man confronting the word, the promise of God, and moving on with faith. How I wish we could learn that secret. I guess I know as well as anyone what's troubling you. Some of you are at your wit's end about the turn things have taken in your marriage, or what's becoming of the children. And another is growing sick and tired of the job, or worse, the people he must work with and the principles or lack of them which they employ. And some of you are so sick in body and spirit, only a miracle can pull you through. I know, too, how you keep yearning for God to do something about it, for heaven's sake and for your own. And all he comes with is a word, a promise. It will be all right. I know, I'll take care of it. Cast all your cares upon me. Trust me. Trust him, indeed, when you can't even prove that he is here? Exactly. That's what trust is. Your hand upon a promise. But listen, such faith will make you whole. not well, maybe, or happy, or comfortable, but it will make you whole. That's where most of the trouble is anyway. Not in your marriage, or your children, or job. In you. And the part that isn't is in the hand of God. Meanwhile, He's out to see you do not walk around half there. That's why most of our troubles come in the first place. Not so that Jesus can demonstrate with signs and wonders all that His power can do. That didn't make believers out of the Canaanites, and it won't do it for us. But to bring you to your knees, and there to faith, and then with your hand in His to glory, that is their purpose. What lack I yet? A young man asked Jesus on a summer afternoon. That's a good question. Not knowledge, or decency, or dedication. Faith. When you've got that, you've got it all. Your faith will make you whole. Jesus warrants our devotion, even when He doesn't work. To believe Jesus, not for what He does, but for who He is. To take Him at His word. Because of that, that is the goal of Christianity. The rest of the story follows, surely, with the son restored to health. But it's secondary now. And your story? I don't know. Maybe healing. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. Not if you have faith. Amen.